Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
edition of Leaving the Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Cable Montoya, and the man behind the switchboard, Mr. David Chan, who's not going to be here today. He's got this new job, and it's just taking away his time away from Leaving the Ring on Thursday night. He's got to make his money. So I know that my voice quality over the air right now is not crystal clear, and the reason being is because I'm on the road. I'm actually heading out to pick up my boys who have both joined the wrestling team. And I'm just running late with a bunch of things, and it's been kind of a weird day. I know I got my co-host with me, Gabriel. What's up, Gabriel? You there on the line with me, brother? You should be. I passed the bit already, so.
I'm on mute. It's been a very strange day. But, hey, it could be worse. You could be Mante Teo's girlfriend that doesn't exist, you know?
It's been kind of an awful, weird type of day, actually starting from last night, you know, and I'll clear this up right away because I've had a lot of people hit me up and even text me and call me and asking what was going on with the whole Brandon Rios thing. Here's the thing. Mike Alvarado and a close source of people from that camp hit me up and let me know that this fight, they have signed their end of the bargain for the fight. They gave me the date and the place and asked me if I can, you know, post it out on the website. And I did that as a favor. You know, now, mind you that this was like, I don't know, 1:30, 2 in the morning, and I maybe should have held off, you know, but I felt like I was just doing them a quick favor, you know, it was no big deal. To me, this was not a breaking story because this was something that we all kind of knew that was going to happen in a rematch between Brandon Rios and Mike Alvarado. Now, you know, Brandon Rios throwing out there in the beginning was saying that there is no cycle because there is no rematch because he hadn't signed anything and he's not going to, you know, say that the fight's going to happen until he signs on that dotted line. But then later on, he did confirm that there is a date, which is March 30th, and it's going to be at Mandalay Bay, which I had, you know, put in my little short little article there. But then I also reposted that he said he hadn't signed his end. I did have the reconfirmation from my source saying that Mike Alvarado has signed on that dotted line. They don't know much about what's holding up Rios, but they did, you know. So just to clear that up, that's what pretty much happened, and that's the end of the story there, you know. And people that have followed us and listened to us for a very long time, they know that we don't really break stories. And this is really the reason why, because people seem to get upset when you break a story, and they want to make it seem like, I don't know, and I'm pretty much done and over with it.
It's the thing of breaking stories, man. I got burned on thinking it wasn't going to be Ortiz and with Mayweather. And some dude in the forum was like, dude, I'm telling you, I talked to Roger. It's going to be Ortiz. And I didn't buy it. And honestly, it did kind of shy me off of breaking stories like that, you know, fights that aren't – and it really isn't that – it's kind of like a rat race that you get involved in, like the boxing scene. Let's do a brief every 20 seconds. I mean, I try to stay involved with what's going on in boxing. I try to stay focused on the thing that brought me in the first place, which was the matchups. You know, I love looking at matchups and breaking them down and you know, styles make fights and sometimes they don't make fights, which can be a horrible thing. But like, you know, looking at this weekend, this is exactly why I got into the business. Why I love boxing, is, you know, all these matchups. You got Salido versus Mikey Garcia. It's kind of a old lion or a old kind of peaking lion. I wouldn't even call him old. He's aged. Orlando Salido taking on the young lion, Mikey Garcia. Gennady Golovkin, who a lot of people think this is like a showcase fight, but Gabriel Rosado is a big boy. He's 21-5. He's learned the hard way on the job. And now he's trying to make a move. He's taking a big risk, a big gamble, losing his ranking, taking on Golovkin for the title. I think that fight is actually more staked than Sizzle than people think. And then, you know, Rocky Martinez versus J.C. Burgos, 30-1. That's like anybody can win. I think that, you know, I don't know. We'll get into picks later, but that fight is another – it's just a meal, dude. That's what it's all about. And, you know, Rios, I don't know what the deal was, but, you know, it's become – all I'll say really about Rios is it's become difficult covering him. I can't get an interview with him. I like to think I write actually good pieces about him. The pieces that I have been really nice.
Right.
I can't get him on the show. I'll take full responsibility, Dave. Like, you used to be able to get him on the show. It's me. I'll take responsibility. He doesn't want to talk to me, as far as I understand. I'm not outing anybody. I'm just taking the guess. And for whatever reason.
Yeah, I've heard it's both. I might actually have two calls from people from the industry. You know, and I don't want to.
But
it's
this, dude, is that we offer coverage to everybody in the sport, and we do it in a very honest way. We're not going to bullshit people. We try to get to the truth as we see it and try not to be emotional about it when we do. We've had emotional times, but I think we've grown in the last year into really a more of a news entity. I think we behave like professionals, or we try to be, even if the interviews become contentious. It's never personal. This feels a little personal, so I'd rather move on past a guy that doesn't want to be covered by us. And if he doesn't, well, fine. Then don't be covered by us. The same thing that happened with Paul Williams. I wish him no ill will. You know, I called them and when they went through their misfortune, that was personal because I care about them. But they didn't want to be covered by us, so we just stopped covering them. If that's the way you want it to be, then cool. But be fair. If you ended up being right and the fight is as you said it was going to be, then he should say something. And he agreed to that, and I'm sure he will because he strikes me as a gentleman, despite his rough way of speaking or blunt way of speaking. I actually kind of like it because I know where I stand with Brandon. But I think that's about all the attention it needs. You know, you did your job. You got good information and you ran with it, as any reporter should.
Yeah, you know, and my only fault, and I did speak to the Rios camp, was that I didn't get their confirmation because, and you know what, that was I dropped the ball on that one, and I did admit to that, you know, and that's why I reposted that he said on Twitter. You know, but like I'm not defending what I posted out. What I am defending, though, is that, you know, was this really a no-brainer? Like, was this really a kept secret that this fight was not going to happen? You know, I mean, this was not something like I broke that, like a Mayweather-Pacquiao that just, you know what I mean? That's the way I got the sense of tough things, you know. And
seriously,
you know,
I mean, just relax.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
not you, him.
No,
yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was kind of aggressive, and then people got all, and then it became this thing of, well, you know, these guys are spreading these rumors. Like, it was like nobody had anything to be upset about today. It was sort of like, you know, I don't know. It's just a fight. Like, relax. It's not like you broke Mayweather. Like, remember, I got fooled thinking that Floyd was going to sign with Don King, somebody very close to the situation that I seriously trusted. Broke that at me, and I tried to dispel it, and I couldn't, and I went with it. But I went with it on Twitter. I didn't write an article about it, and you went with it on Twitter. You didn't write – well, you did write an article about it. But, you know, I think people just need to calm down a little.
It was more or less, like I said, I was asked to do it, and I really didn't see that there was a big issue about it. It was not like me – this is the way I felt, to tell you the truth. It wasn't like I broke a story saying, Pacquiao got Parkinson's disease, you know. I didn't run with something like that. This was just basically a fight that a lot of us knew that was gonna happen. And, there was already speculation it was going to happen in March. And when I was told, and this is the thing where I just kind of found it weird, is that when I'm being told that one fighter is being signed, I really didn't think there was a problem saying, hey, this fight's a done deal. You know, it's going to happen because already one part of the party is all for it, and it's going to go. So, but I apologize, Brandon. I did apologize to people saying, I wasn't suggesting that he signed it. I didn't say he signed it. I did say that Mike Alvarado, maybe I should have put on that article, and I take full responsibility that, you know, I should have put that. I didn't know for sure he had signed it, but I didn't think it was going to cause such a big ruckus, you know, and hurt certain folks' feelings.
Well,
it is what it is. you know, we got a great show today. We got Mike Dallas, and we got a heavyweight Olympian Dominic Brazil with us on Leaving the Ring. Mike Dallas is going to be calling at about 5:30. I'm almost close to home, so I can sound normal. I'm trying to drive and talk, and hopefully I don't get pulled over by a police officer.
I've also got a late addition, too. At 7 o'clock tonight, Ola Afolabi is going to join us from training camp up in Big Bear, California. The Ola is always, you know, fun. I don't know if people remember his last interview. It was his first interview with us. He was a pretty candid guy. He's just one of the guys I enjoy talking to most in the sport. So he'll be joining us shortly here about 2 hours from now. So hopefully by then Dave will be back at his computer and able to focus on talking. What's that?
I'm heading there right now to my computer so I can get back on. Just waiting for my kids to get out of the car. But and then hopefully we can get Carlos Vargas on here with us on Leaving the Ring. They're trying to locate him, you know, because they've been trying to get him to do an interview with us for his
upcoming Burgos
fight.
Yeah.
Burgos. And it'd be nice to have him on and we could talk to him and about his, you know, I really like that fight with Rocky Martinez. And we talked about this when it was announced that they were going to be mixing it up. And, you know, Rocky Martinez is one of those exciting kind of guys. He keeps his heart on his sleeve, you know.
I want, like, a Goodfellas tracking camera of you going from your car with, like, your kids into your lair to put your headphones on and, like, get into position to do the show. It's like the pre-show show. We should almost have started, like, 5:30. This is the part where Dave struggles with a gunman that he didn't know was in his house, and now he's
And my kid's telling me right now, he's like, "Dad, I left my backpack at school." I'm like, "Too bad, buddy. We're live on the air." A lot of my fans calling in right now. 347-215-7598. You can call in. Let's patch in our. We're gonna take some calls before we get Mike Dallas and then roll in about some discussions here on Leaving the Ring. We're just running wild and crazy. Area code 951. You're on live right now. Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother? Hello, area code 951. No, okay. Let's go with the area code 619. You're on live right now. Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? Area code 619. You there? No. Same thing here. Okay, let's go with area code 510. You're on live right now and Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? 510. You there, brother? All right, everybody's being a little bit shy here on Leaving the Ring today, man. But if anyways, you want to chop it up and talk to us here on Leaving the Ring, go right ahead, 347-215-7598. You can talk to myself, Dave Duenas, or my partner, Gabriel Montoya. We have a lot of things here to discuss. Yesterday, we had a nooner show, a special for Leaving the Ring. We had heavyweight Tyson Fury, and he had a lot of say about all the heavyweights, and he had a lot of say about the UFC call-outs that he did on Twitter. You know, with the whole UFC, they didn't really bring up anything new. It was nothing surprising. He had called Cain Velasquez a midget. But a couple of the things, you know, I like a lot of his quotes. I think that's one thing that I think he gives really, really good quotes. You know, saying that nobody grows up to wanting to be a Klitschko. What he said about Chris the Nightmare, that he's a protein bar if they were to face each other. I really like that interview, and I like guys that are really brass and they're willing to kind of open up, and they're not really afraid to say what's on their mind. And if you missed that interview, you can go ahead and catch it on the Leaving the Ring website. I know I said I was going to throw some highlight clips here on the show, but I didn't have a chance to. I've just been running all over the place here today and stuff, so I apologize with that. But let's try it again. Let's patch another fight fan before we get Mike Dallas here about 5:30 to talk to us about his big fight with Lucas Matisse. Let's go with area code 860. You're on live right now and Leaving the Ring. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
What's up, man?
How you doing, brother?
Hi, CT.
Hey, what's up, CT? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? I'm really excited about the fight this weekend. I know I broke down the two fights, the Golovkin and Rosado and Orlando Salido versus Garcia the best I could. You know what? When I see a fighter like Golovkin that has like a lot of internet hype, I want to see more of him. I mean, I know he has a good amateur background and everything, but when I see a fighter in the pros, I just look at him completely different. I try to throw the amateur, you know, career away, even though it does matter to an extent. But when you're when you're professional, to me, I think it's a whole different league. I look at it as Golovkin as a very confident fighter, and you can tell he's got a lot of power from the way he fights. He fights with a lot of confidence for it. You know, he's coming forward, and I like the way he cuts off the ring. He's very balanced when he throws hard shots, and I think that's very important in this fight. I think Gabe Rosado is a very live underdog because I like the way Gabe, you know, he has heart. You know, I think he's going to have to have a good jab in this fight, you know, move laterally. And I think Gabe has a pretty good right hand himself. So I think Golovkin's got to be aware of Gabriel Rosado's right hand. I can see the fight to an extent going back and forth. With Golovkin's experience, though, I can see him, you know, figuring Rosado out and, you know, maybe getting a stoppage late. But I wouldn't be surprised if Gabe pulls it off. You know, he's very confident. He's a fighter who's on a high right now. So, you know,
I was going to say that. He is a fighter that's on a streak. He's been on this winning streak. He's a pretty big guy, you know. He even said it. I'm big for 154. And I think it's, you know, the thing I like about when we had him on and what he mentioned to us is that he's very aware of what he has in front of him with Gennady. You know, it's not like he thinks they're, you know, Gennady's overhyped type of fighter. He understands that there is some danger to this guy, but he's just saying it's a modern danger. It's not like this unbelievable, impossible mission that he can't accomplish. It can be accomplished if you have the right game plan, if you're conditioned correctly, you know. And I did have some conversations with some fight folks saying that they just hope that his camp did right by him, you know, that they had the right training camp for him, that they understood that this is this one and only big shot to go to the next level if he's able to upset Gennady. You know, it's a tall order to get through, but I have to agree with you in a lot of ways. You know, this guy's dangerous. He's got a good jab, and he's got good fundamentals.
I think that he understands what he needs to be. I mean, in the interview we discussed with him, the idea of adaptability. And that he's going to have to use everything that he's got. At times he's going to have to bang. At times he's going to have to box. I think the time to box is not going to be – that can't be plan B. You know, you can't, like, go toe-to-toe and take a bunch of damage early on and like, oh, shit, I better start boxing. Like, that's not going to work with Gennady Golovkin because really all that's going to mean is that you're going to be kind of weak and at the end of his power, and that's really – you know, where you're doomed. You know, he's like a Trinidad like that. If you get in close to him, he will rip shots. But if you get to where he can extend his arms all the way and really extend that power and get you on the end of it with that snap, it's good night, you know. I think Triple G gets him out of there in six. But I think he does have a chance to win. I think Rosado does have a chance to win. That versatility, a willingness to not make it quite so much the fight that everybody wants. You know, I think that's what Mike Alvarado did wrong against Brandon Rios the first time. He had the kind of tools, although he does remind me a little bit of Kermit Cintron, and he's still not quite comfortable as a former wrestler being a boxer. But he could have boxed earlier and used his length and all his advantages, but he gave us the fight that we thought we were going to see instead of the fight that he wanted us to see. And that's what Gabe Rosado is going to have to do.
That's a good point, you know.
With Golovkin, though, you know what I wonder about him? You know, I know he believes in his power, but he's the type of fighter I see him get hit a lot. You know, his head pretty stiff. And Gabe, I don't know if you've seen him, you know, live in the gym. How hard does he hit? Do you hear a loud popping noise when he connects? Or
Golovkin? I have yet to see him in the gym. Steve always takes the gym, and then I get him at the restaurant.
Okay.
And next time up, I'm going to head up there with them all. But this time I wasn't able to. But from talking to Abel Sanchez, he says he's like the hardest hitter he's dealt with. I mean, the guy's dealt with Terry Norris. You could just see – I'm writing a piece about him tonight, about them together. You can see there's an energy to them. And the way Abel –
it's a guy like directing a great actor, you know, or a great violinist who's been given a Stradivarius. You can see the excitement of working with the very best tool there is, you know, in Abel's eyes. So I think his power is very real. I think it's the real deal. I think it's kind of like a Valero kind of power, like right to your bone. It can really get you out of there, but it's the kind of power that you – it may not be one punch that you're worried about, but three punches, yeah, you're absolutely worried about it.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, I've seen him hit – you know, when he knocks people down, I see they're very, very hurt and dazed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like a Trinidad power, you know, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what – that's kind of the focus of what I'm looking at. It's not like a straight interview. It's just kind of what are we looking at in Triple G? What do we want to get out of him? You know, I think what we're missing, people heavyweight that can knock people out like Tyson, I think it's just a puncher that we can engage with a little bit. That there used to be a lot of them, Julian, Terry Norris, Trinidad. These guys were all kind of roaming the – you know, Gerald – Spooky, Nigel Benn. He wasn't really I guess he kind of had that one punch, but Nigel Benn certainly did, or Gerald McClellan certainly did. Those guys are – that's what really makes boxing – I think that's where it's like a certain mystery where science takes off into something else, the idea of punching power. And that's what we really need, and I think that's what we're looking for in Triple G. That's what we're hoping for, that his power is real. And
I think
he's out for the next like 3-4 years, you know?
I agree with you. You know, I think we've been really hungry for a guy that kind of brings that aura of a punching knockout artist that we can root for, because I can't really think of a guy that's really has that right now that really gets you going where you know that he can turn the fight with one big punch. CT, I'm going to put you back on hold, brother. Thanks for calling in.
If I could, I was going to talk about the Garcia and Saliga. Well, I know you guys had to go. Sorry about
no,
that.
Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Real quick. I think there's going to be, some questions being answered here about, you know, Garcia. It's a very tough test for him. You know, he's going to weather a fighter who's very strong and aggressive and has a pretty good right hand. I think Saliga has one of those right hands. He kind of loops over like he's throwing a grenade, but it's very telling hard punch. I want to see how Garcia weathers a storm early, but I could see him, you know, turning Saliga a lot, turning it into his type of style of fighting, and Garcia getting a split decision. But I think it's going to be a very tough fight. I want to see how he takes the Saliga punch, but I can see, you know, Garcia, you know, making his boxing skills a factor in the fight, and I think the Lopez fight took something out of Saliga. We're going to see if it's going to happen that night. But I'm picking Garcia with a close decision. But I think he's going to be a new champion.
Man, you know, I'm gonna throw out there real quick. You know, this fight, it spells, it just shows that it might be just a classic fight for us, you know. Salido's basically a boxer mauler, where Garcia is a classic boxer puncher. Here's the thing that I think that makes this fight even more interesting is that Salido's going to come out with a lot of volume, a lot of pressure, something that we haven't seen anybody really apply to Garcia. And when they try, they've fallen short because of the power that he possesses. Salido can take punches. You know, he could take pretty good shots. We've seen him take some shots from guys that were pretty heavy-handed in that weight division, going from Guerrero, going from Lopez. My question is that, if Garcia is not able to make Salido humble in those first beginning rounds, I think we're going to find out a little bit more where Garcia's heart is at in the game of boxing. Because not only is he going to have to fight his way out of the pressure from Salido, but he's going to have to retain some of that power and some of that – he's going to have to conserve some of that energy for those related rounds to make it a squeaky decision past Salido. I'm really interested of how Salido – you know, is able to receive the power from a younger guy and who's very accurate. And I'm also very curious of finding out what a younger fighter, how he's going to react to somebody that's actually going to make him fight at a pace that he normally does not like to take.
Yeah, good point.
Brother, I'm going to put you back on hold, man. Thanks for calling in.
I got Salido by late knockout, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah, to be the late Larry Merchant. I have Salido by late knockout.
Yeah, you know what? I've said it on here, And I keep saying that I thought this was a bit premature, but at the same time, you know, you don't find out what a fighter is all about by him taking these risks.
You know, people that always criticize Top Rank, you know, people like this guy today, like Bob Arum needs to get his ego out of the way for fights that we don't want to see, you know, or that, you know, so we can get the fights we want to see, whatever. I'm thinking, you know, what about this fight right here? You know, Salido versus Garcia, that's a tough fight. That's a fight I want to see. I'm a fight fan. I'm pretty excited about it. You know, both guys are just, they seem to be, you know, of a mentality that they absolutely have to win. They want to prove who they are in this fight. It's everything that fight fans should want. You know, I understand the complaint. This whole card from top to bottom is just, it's really like a, it's just what to me. I don't find any fault with it. I don't think it's getting really the praise it deserves. And I think that, like, Golovkin Rosado, I think is being looked at as some sort of easy matchup. I don't think that is at all.
That's not an accurate way of looking at that fight. You know,
but you get a nice mixture on the undercard. Michael Zuski is somebody that I'm interested in. 17-0. He's taking on Brandon Hoskins. 16-3-1. Glenn Tapia, I'm not so, you know, versus A.E. Bruce. It's kind of an interesting matchup, but you know, I'm not that big on Glenn Tapia. And Shawnee Monaghan is a, you know, a local favorite, 16-0, versus Roger Never Can Tell Cantrell, 15-2. Actually, I saw Roger Cantrell in St. Lucia. That was a guy that fought Andre Ward. He was undefeated then. That was one of the longest rides back on a bus of all time. Where we were riding to the airport the next morning after he'd lost. And, you know, Andre and them, I think, were staying in St. Lucia an extra day or so, like the winning team, you know. But the journalists and the losing team all went back the next day. And it was just, you know, just not the bus you want to be on, you know.
No, it's not. And, you know, this is where we find out, you know, champions. You know, are they legitimate champions? I don't think we can question Orlando Salido about being a viable, dangerous champion. The who's in the winds of when he has fought, he's proven where he stands. Mikey Garcia, this is his chance to find out exactly if he is the goods. We see that he's the goods, and he looks like a very promising prospect that turned champion right away. But this is the way, our way of finding out whether or not he's going to be able to carry that torch. You know, his older brother Robert Garcia, who's now a trainer, who was a champion himself and fell short with the late, great, rest in peace, Diego Corrales, and was stopped, you know, and it pretty much ended the career of his career, and it made him make that decision of becoming a trainer. That's what I believe. But with Mikey Garcia, this to me is I think this is like the final product that his dad molded up. You know, and we saw some of the mold with Fernando Vargas and with Grandpa, which was his older brother. But this is the refined product, you know, and we get to find out whether or not that this mad scientist building the perfect fighter, molding the perfect fighter, if he's going to be able to now rally through the wars, rally through the battlefield, to see whether or not that all that hard work and all that hard work and input is going to withhold through the fighting style. And that's why I really like this match. And anybody that will tune in and listen, I say, keep a close eye on this one, because you're going to be able to find out what two fighters are all about in this one match. You're going to really see where they really stand and where they go from there. You know, these kind of fights in reality was something like Don King used to put together back in the days when he had a Mike Tyson card. He used to put a great amount of fights underneath there, and we were able to find out who are the guys that really belong in those pay-per-view cards and was soon to be the headliners, you know. And I applaud Top Rank for doing a fight like this with two of these cards, Gennady and with Rosado and Salido, because these were the fights that we watched earlier in the mid-90s. And this is the way you do things to build fighters, to get them in the eyes of the public, and really not to just the hardcore fight fans, but to those casual fans, those guys that are just surfing through the channels, and then they just run into this, they're gonna end up finding a really good matchup here. a really exciting matchup, you know, and I can't wait for it. This, I think we're, as fight fans, we shouldn't have a whole lot to complain about, because we've been starting off with some pretty good fights, man, some really good fights for the year. And even on that same Saturday, you know, on NBC Sports, you're going to have some other good fights there to you know, as an appetizer leading into the HBO After Dark card. So should really be excited. We're going to have Mike Dallas about 5:30. Should be calling in. And then we'll start talking to him about his upcoming exciting fight. So let's patch in some fight fans really quick before we have Mike Dallas here with us.
I have returned.
You have returned. Let's go with and remember, we don't have David Chin with us. He's not going to be on the show. He's working right now, and he's tied up. He's going to be tied up for a couple of the shows. That's what he was telling me. So we're going to miss you, David Chin. But don't worry, we'll move on. So I'm going to call out Errico. Let me know your name and what you want to talk about here on Leaving the Ring Radio. It seems to me we're finally settling down. It was a little crazy in the beginning. I was out on the road trying to get my little chongos. But let's go with area code 210. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring, brother. What's on your mind? No. That's okay. You know why? Because I think we have Mike Dallas with us. Mike Dallas, you with us here on Leaving the Ring, brother?
Yeah.
What's up, man? How you doing? Thanks for taking the time to speak to us here on the radio show.
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Well, I'm Dave Duenas, and my partner is Gabriel Montoya from Max Boxing and Leaving the Ring Radio. You got an exciting fight with Lucas Matisse's, a hard-hitting puncher. Let me ask you, for preparation, do you think that it was substantial? Do you think it was enough for you to be ready with Virgil Hunter?
Yeah, I have enough time. You know, I'm feeling good right now.
Well, were you already kind of in rhythm? It seems like you guys kind of stay in rotation, and he doesn't really allow his fighters to get out of shape. And you seem to be fighting fairly often these days. So were you just felt like, you know, all right, I'm ready to take this next step? Well, you last fought in June, but as I understand it, you've been in the gym and been working. Am I correct?
Yeah, you know, I was going to fight. They were saying I was going to fight in December, but the fight fell through, so I went back home for like a week and a half, and so I came back, and so I was already in motion of training.
There's been a few additions to your the stable. You've been there for several fights now. I think, what, is it three or is this four fights that you've been?
Four.
It's four now. Okay. And Alfredo Angulo and Amir Khan. How has that altered things? Has that shaken things up at all? Have you had a chance to work with either of those guys?
Yeah, it's a good thing. You know, we all work together, and you know, we all each other out, and it's making the stable stronger, because, you know, we all round the same way, so we spar each other.
You know, what we saw you at the Molina and Khan fight, man, and you looked in great shape, you know. With Lucas, what are some of the things that you think that you have to do in order to make sure that his power is not a major factor? Because, you know, right away, fight fans are like, you know, this is a huge puncher. This is a guy that possibly could take you out early on. What do you think that you guys have worked on to just nullify anything that he brings?
Just box and stay smart. That's basically it. You got to box and just stay smart.
Do you prepare with the heavier guys? Because, I mean, you got, like, Brandon Gonzalez in there. You know, you got Alfredo Angulo.
Yeah, I just spar. Yeah, I was sparring with both of them.
And in those sparring sessions, is that more or less to work the legs so that you can move around the ring a little bit more, or for them to muscle you so that you can kind of, you know, prepare your body for any of the assault that Matisse throws at you?
It's a little of both, you know, working my legs in because, you know, they're bigger, stronger guys, so both.
I'm going to pass it over to my co-host here, Gable.
At this point, you know, you're heading into your fourth fight with Virgil. Assess where you're at with that. I mean, I imagine in the beginning he was working on maybe, you know, fundamental changes that he wanted to make, and then as you've gone along, you've probably gotten into bigger concepts. I don't know if that's correct, but can you talk a little bit about your progression over these different camps?
We just making me an all-around boxer. That's basically it, you know, and so we can, you know, be accustomed to anything that happens in the ring. So we're just basically working on making me an all-around fighter.
What's been the biggest physical change? I mean, did he work? I noticed your stance is a little bit different. Like, your balance seems to be better over the course of these last few fights.
Balance, you know, picking my shots, everything just coming along.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to ask you, you know, because in 2011, you know, Lucas Matisse is not the most polished fighter. You know, I mean, he's got some good boxing skills, but there's no way of saying that this guy is like, you know, in the Adrian Broner, Floyd Mayweather stats. He's more of a volume type of guy. And your two losses in 2011 were to like Lopez and Herrera, who are guys that's almost as similar. I wouldn't say similar completely in style, but they were pressure fighters. You know, do you think that you're ready to take on a guy that?
Yeah, if I wasn't ready, I wouldn't be fighting, you know, so I'm ready to go.
Do you see that they're almost similar to, in style, and have you looked at those two fights again?
No, I looked at them out a long time ago. That was like a couple years ago, but I'm about past that now. I'm ready to go, so I'll be ready on January 26th.
What do you see in him? I mean, to me, he's like a vicious body puncher. Everything he throws kind of is with hard intent. Do you think that could be the real difference here is that you've now kind of learned how to shift gears? It seems like you're a much more relaxed fighter. And like you said, like your balance and everything. Do you think that that's going to be the key, is just kind of letting the fight go a little bit longer and let the puncher just kind of throw his big hard shots and let him come in waves a few times and slowly just box and pick him apart? And do you think it's going to be a decision? Do you think he can get a stoppage?
Yeah, it's just, that's all. It's just boxing and, you know, let him counter off his mistakes. And, hey, if a stoppage comes, it comes.
You feel like, because, you know, Virgil, let me try this, because when you got with them, I did see a change in you. You know, I saw more of a collective guy, a guy that it seems like you feel more confident with your corner. Is that a right assessment to say?
Yeah, basically.
So the growth that you think is from that 2011, like you said, it's the past, but you feel that's been a major leap. It's a major leap, you know, that this is a different Mike Dallas, you know. There's no question about that. This is a different Mike Dallas because I have a different camp, and I have different strategies that are being handed to me.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I got more I could do now. You know, I'm more not just one style. And then, you know, I wasn't physical then, and I would let people push me around and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all coming together.
How about the cuts? Because you've been, you know, the last few fights you got cuts over the eyes. Is that fully healed? Was it enough time to let those cuts heal, or are you guys?
Yeah, that was 8-9 months ago, so I'm good.
Well, I'm excited, man. I think this fight, Dave and I were talking about it today, and I think it's a little under the radar, but I think it's also because it's kind of a short notice the way they put it together. But I really applaud you for just stepping up. You know, so many times you hear about a fight like this, and a guy goes, "Nah, you know, I need my full, you know, full training camp to prepare for this." But you're like, you know, I'm a fighter. I think that's probably the difference. Wouldn't you agree? Is that you've, in those losses, not to take away from those guys, but you didn't know what it was to truly be a pro. Now you do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And basically, you know, everybody, I guess people is avoiding the fight. You know, I ain't scared of them. You know what I mean? So just like I say, you know, I'm ready to go and be well prepared for the fight.
I remember seeing you at Wild Card, and that was during when you first came around with Jackie.
Right.
And you were working with Pacquiao, and you were doing well. I saw one session. You did well. At the back end, I thought he kind of took it away. But it's sparring. You know, you guys are just working. But you seemed not lost, but not quite settled, because I would see you. I saw you at Fortune. I think I saw you out at Goosens. You hadn't really found your home. It seems like you've now found your home with Virgil. Is that correct?
Yeah, I found myself now. And it was just the beginning of my wild sparring Pacquiao, so I only had like two pro fights, one and two. So,
yeah.
You know, it was just, I was just learning, you know, trying to get accustomed to the pro game, which, you know, I'm still learning as I go.
I know. I like the overall of people that you've worked with. I mean, with Eloy Perez, I remember you were sparring with him, getting work ready with him. I'm not sure if you ever had a chance to get in with Robert the Ghost Guerrero, but I mean, it seemed like
when
you came.
Yeah, I sparred him one more time.
Yeah, see, it seemed to me that ever since you made that transition coming down to Northern California, that you've been rounded with other type of styles to kind of get used to and handle. I think this is a live fight, man. I really like this fight, and I think that the contributor is because of the Virgil Hunter added to it, but at the same time, because of all the other styles that have been in that camp.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so it's helping.
What do you think it is, the difference between all those camps, and why this one
worked for you? You know, the sparring we got in the stable now and then, and those camps I've been in the past, you know, it's basically, you know, you test it every day. You can't come in the gym and have a bad day, you know what I mean?
Right.
Especially in sparring, or, you know, somebody going to take advantage of that. You got top-of-the-line pros in there. So, you know, you got to bring your best every day at practice, and that's helping me.
What's working with Angulo like? That guy's funny.
It's good, man. You know, he's a cool guy. You know, my teammate. So it's good work, man.
Imagine, because like, I was talking to Virgil about it, and he said, you know, you don't just sign guys because you're the hot trainer, but you want to put together a group that, like, complements each other and pushes each other so that your flaw, you know, might be, you know, somebody else's strength and vice versa. I'm curious, you know, what do you think of the Guerrero-Quillen fight? Fernando's a guy that really interests me in his growth. He's kind of a lot like you, that he tried a bunch of different camps, and now he's with Virgil, and I think it's a
right
fit. What are your thoughts on that?
Are you there, Mike? Did we lose him?
I thought we were just finding our rhythm.
He's still there, it says.
Hmm.
I think there's something wrong with either one on this phone or... Mike, are you still there, brother? Hey, you mentioned Fernando Guerrero, and he hung up on you, bro.
That's a bad omen.
Now, I think we lost him, so we're going to have to try him. Hopefully, we'll call back in.
He was just starting to warm up to us.
I thought so, too, you know. We have Mike Dallas with us. Hopefully, we can get him back on the line. It seemed like his call dropped, so...
We'll blame AT&T.
So we'll hold up really quick. You know, if you start thinking about that whole camp and what Virgil's really trying to line up and do, it's really fascinating. It's almost like I'm not going to go get carried away, but it's almost like having a bunch of, you know, selected certain players in a video game and putting them all together and finding out, you know, what you can really do with them. And, I mean, you look at the face of everybody and the talent and what they bring to that table, they bring a little something different and something special. Amir Khan, Mike Dallas, Fernando Guerrero, Brandon Gonzalez, Andre Ward, Alfredo Angulo. There's a lot there. There's a lot there to get your hands in the mix with, you know?
Yeah, I think it's it's an interesting stable that he's put together, you know? He's and Virgil, I think, you know, with each guy, it's going to take time. That's why I'm very curious about this fourth camp, like how settled he's going to be. If he's not the most descriptive guy, you know, in terms of, but I think you can see it in the work. It really does show. I think it's a real stark contrast, and in the way his stance used to be super wide, and he would kind of push his shots. To now, like, his stance has kind of come in, his hips are a little bit more under him, so his balance is better, his mobility is now consequently better, and he can actually pop his shots better. He's not pushing, he's not shooting. That's a really subtle change, but you can see it in what Virgil's done for him. His defense is tighter. I think he's more relaxed. He game plan. He understands what he's trying to get done, as opposed to just being in the moment and that's your plan. But you know, being in the moment, executing a game plan. I think that's the difference. He's got a ring general now that he trusts.
And that makes a huge difference when you have a guy, you know, that is supposed to be. And I've compared it to football. You have your ground coaches, which is the fighter. You know, he has to make those adjustments. He has to look for those minor mistakes and correct them. But then you have your tower coach who oversees what's going on, has a bigger picture of what's happening in that field. And a lot of times when you don't have that comfort, you don't have that eagle eye out there to look out for those mistakes that need those adjustments, the advice that you need when you get back to the corner and you're getting busted up, you know, you end up falling apart. Because now you're overthinking. Your job is to really just make those minor adjustments, and the major adjustments is made from the guys on the outside. And you can kind of see that with Mike Dallas. But I throw it out again that he's trying to get I'm sorry, he's Mario Serrano's trying to get Mike Dallas back on, you know. But what I'm trying to get at is with the first two losses is there's some similarities there. You know, pressure guys, but didn't have hard-punching power, where Matisse does have that hard-punching power, you know. And this is a major test for Mike Dallas to find out that all that hard work and all those different styles that he's faced and worked with Virgil Hunter, if it's finally paid off.
I think so, you know, without question. Well, it's Mike is he coming back?
Yeah, he is. Marcelon said they're trying to get him back on the line. There's something wrong.
Let's take a caller in the meantime.
Let me oh, God. Hold on. Give me a second here, bro.
All right.
I apologize, man. I got a repair guy here, and I'm trying to write a check at the same time and talk on the show. And anyways, yeah, let's get some callers here on Leaving the Ring Radio. Again, we apologize. We don't have Mr. David Chen. So bear with us. I'm just going to call out your area code and just state your name and what do you want to talk about here on Leaving the Ring. Let's go with the area code 602. 602, you're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother? Hello, area code 602. No, okay. Area code 724, you're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? Hello, 724. Are we on the...
Yeah, I have no idea. I can't hear anybody.
I can't hear anybody either. Area code 860. You're on live right now, Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? Hello, area code 860. I guess people... You know, we get a lot of folks that call in and they just want to listen, and that's when David Chen... That's why we need David Chen so much. Area code 510. You're on live right now, Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? 510. Area code 510. You're on live right now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's something going on with our.
I blame Blob Talk.
I wouldn't. You know, we had area code 210. You're on live right now, Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? Area code 210. Okay, well,
in any case,
I'm going to stop trying to check and stuff. We're going to wait back for Mike Dallas, and we should have him on. Let me check to see what Mario Serrano had to text me.
I'll tell you what's an interesting matchup. I was just kind of looking forward to next weekend, too, as we're going to get into our, you know, this weekend with, we get into the fight schedule later in the show. But we got Silcook Aiden versus Soto Karas. Janelle Charlo. He doesn't do a lot for me versus Harry Yorgi, who's never done anything for me. That should be, I don't know, we'll see. But on that Friday, Zinzerig versus Brian Vera. I'm just calling it right now. Vera's going to stop him.
Yeah, you know, Vera's a real tough.
He's a tough customer. I'm not, you know, I don't know. Zinzerig has just kind of gotten back here. I don't know much about his,
okay,
his camp.
I'm being told that the audio went out and the call lines are busy for some reason. So people, let me know that if you guys can hear us or not, because so I can correct this. Anyways, you know, Brian Barrow is one of those guys that you can never count out. He brings a lot of power. He brings that aggression, you know. He's one of those tough nuts to crack, and anytime he comes and he steps into the ring, he's just going to bring his all. So I could see that. I could see him stopping his next opponent and stuff. I would never count out the guy. I mean, you have to make adjustments unless you watched him and you know that his limitations, and he's definitely a guy that is very beatable, but like with Andy Lee, you had to go through that storm in order to know what to bring for the next time it started to storm on you.
Well, I think just looking at Vera has been training consistently. I don't know about Zinzurek, but just calling it an early upset special, I think some people didn't say Zinzurek should be able to outbox him because that's what he does and he's done it at a high level. And Vera is just a kind of a limited banger. But I see a guy that's dedicated to being a fighter all the time versus I'm not sure about Zinzurek ever since his loss to Martinez. I think he's just making money. So I'm just saying. I haven't seen him in camp yet, but I'm just taking a wild guess.
Absolutely. I'm still trying to figure out. Not sure if people are being told that they can't get in. I don't know why. Because I do see people's numbers on the line. And they're just not able to patch them in for some reason. So anyways, we'll try to fix that. I apologize. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, this fucking, I hate Blog Talk. Apologize for the cuss word, but
seriously.
I don't know why. I never get why we always have. It's either going to be with Skype or Blog Talk. We can never win with this internet, man. Never, we can never win. Having a rough beginning of the show, and then it comes down to this. Let me try one more time, man. Even if you don't want to talk boxing, you're just tuning in to listen. Just give me a heads up that you can hear us and you can. So I'm gonna area code 860. Can you hear us, brother? Let me know you can hear us.
Nope.
No. I apologize. I don't know what's going on. I'll hit a Blog Talk right now while we're here. But my best bet, you know what? I'm going to have to hit Mar Serrano, let him know. Give me his number, and I'll just call him so that we can do that. But, yeah, this is ridiculous, man. I apologize to everybody that's trying to call in and talk to us here on Leaving the Ring. I don't know what's going on. But let him know. Send me his number so we can finish off this interview. We do have Dominic Brazil calling in too. Hopefully this thing gets resolved so we can get him in. If not, I'm going to have to email his PR and let him know we have to call him in. So, but yep. Anyways, again, going back with, I want to go back with Friday night fights. John Molina having his sensational knockout and, which was a good knockout for him. But with Brandon Gonzalez, you know, I want to talk a little bit with Brandon Gonzalez. And when we talk about Virgil Hunter and we speak on, you know, what he does bring to the table, sometimes, though, I think that a person can be changed a little bit too much where they end up mirroring another guy. And that's not that good. You know, it turns out not to be great. And I don't know whether or not just because he's been with Andre Ward for quite some time, but I really didn't see the Brandon Gonzalez that I've seen in the past. You know, there was a little bit more of the Ward in him. And in my opinion, I wouldn't have really, you know, fixed him like that. I thought there was some fine-tuning that he needed. I think that he was perfectly good in the way he was fighting in the past. And his phone died. That's what I'm being told right now, that his phone did die.
That's fine. We got as much out of it as we possibly
right.
could.
Yeah.
Let's just move on to the Friday night fights. Yeah, no, I really liked this fight. Now keep going.
Yeah. I want to hear what your thought is, because I tweeted it out, and some fight fans agreed with me on that, and there was other fight fans that did it. But I just saw him trying to mimic somebody that he wasn't. And I was like thinking to myself, why take away something that was working well for you before and try to be somebody else?
Well, I mean, I think with Molina has not been...
Not Molina. I'm talking about Brandon Gonzalez.
Oh, you know, with Brandon Gonzalez, I don't know what he is at this point. He doesn't fight often enough to have a personality or an identity, to be perfectly honest. He doesn't trust himself. Like they were saying, you don't trust in your conditioning. He doesn't fight often enough to have any trust within himself. That's just, I don't know what's going on, what's keeping him out of the ring. The guys that want to fight all the time do. Listen to Mike Dallas. You know, they offered me the fight. You know, do you feel ready? I wouldn't take the fight if I wasn't ready.
Right. I like that.
I was in the gym. You know, what am I supposed to do but be in the gym and be ready to fight? You know, that's why I say, you know, with Zindarik, I mean, he just got to training camp this week. You know, I don't want to give away the guy's secrets, but, you know, I know Brian Vera probably didn't just get to training camp this week. He's probably getting really ready for it. But, you know, Brandon Gonzalez fought all of one time in 2012. And he didn't look good when he did. You know, two fights in 2011. He was doing fine in 2010, you know, four fights. But what happened in 2011 and 2012 when you're a fighter that has, you know, less than 20 fights and you're 28 years old? What are you doing? That's why you look like crap every time you do fight. You're not crap, but just one gear, kind of boring. You know, nice guy, had nothing to do with that. You know, I wish him all the best. I wish he would fight more often so he would do better when he fight.
I think that's what looked like. I mean, the win, at the end of the day, he got the win. But when you're not fighting consistently and you're being shelved up, you know, it's almost like you're trying to, you're going back to baby walk, you know, baby steps, when you should be running already, you know, and I think that's what has contributed a lot for seeing that kind of Andre Ward, poor man style. And you know, and I've always been big on Brandon Gonzalez, been following them for a very long time. And that's why I think I'm being critical, because the fact that I know what the kid is capable of doing. He's got fast hands. He can bang. He can go to the body. He can move. But I didn't see that. And my question was whether or not being active or being a sparring partner slowed him down, you know?
Well, that's the thing, is if you're a sparring partner while you're being inactive, that's dangerous. Because then you're just a sparring partner. You're not a guy getting ready for a fight. And you take a lot of damage in the ring getting work, because you're fooling yourself into thinking you're working, because you maybe you're making money at it. And, you know, that's one of the hustles of the gig. But you have to have fights. You're a fighter. And it is sparring partner syndrome. It's very dangerous, you know, especially around this age, where you just get comfortable with it and you eventually just cruise into something else. If you have something else to fall back on, you usually will. But if you got fights you're getting ready for, man, you should be ready. You should be getting ready. And I just really think that's what we're seeing, is him not being as ready as he should be. I mean, he's prepared and everything, but they're saying, like, you don't trust your conditioning. It's just because he's not fighting all the time, so he doesn't really have that foundation
right
underneath him, you know. And you know what? I can step on the gas in the seventh round and really let it go and see just how tired the other guy is. And I've still got something, you know? He doesn't do that.
No.
And so
he needs to. I think the frustrating part is that I honestly think he can. He just needs to and he had an injury. I know he had some management problems he had to get out of. You know, he was with another promotional company. And, you know, I think that now, though, going back, he's got to be realistic and look at this last fight on Friday Night Fights. And I think we might be a little harsh on that. And I'm going back, and the reason why is because I've seen him before. I've watched his career. I've watched him, you know, fight live, and there's something there. I think there's something there that he's looking for that's always been there. He needs to stop looking and just realize he's the fighter that he is, and that's it. and he needs just to get in there and do his business. And I think that we'll be able to see what his capabilities are. The 168 move up was recommended from Virgil Hunter. And that's just new trending ground, for, in my opinion. Now he's got to find out. On top of trying to figure out who he was at 160, now he's back to the drawing board and trying to find out who he is at 168.
Yeah. Well, but I think it's not even about weight. I think you can make it about other things. But it's really about fighting more often. I mean, like, I think, you know, the interviews that we've conducted in the last few days, of Tyson, talking about Tyson Fury, and we're talking about with Peter Fury, his trainer, and how, his uncle, how really what it's all about at this point is getting more fights, because the fights are going to give you the experience. And at this point, Brandon is the guy he's going to be. He just now needs to trust his conditioning, learn how to do several different things within a fight, any number of things within a fight. And once he does that, then things will progress from there. But he's got to, you know, this is a good step, starting in January fighting, but now he's got to fight more often. He's got to fight. And then we'll know. I think John Molina is a guy that suffered from the same thing. He hasn't fought consistently, and, you know, a lot of this you could say, you know, he's switching promoters or he's doing this or that. He's in litigation, but, you know, the common thread is that's you being involved in that,
right?
And, you know, that's a whole other issue. But the fight itself, I thought John, both guys were kind of reluctant to do anything, and I think it's because, you know, John doesn't fight that often. I think there was rust. You don't know what you can trust when you're fighting so often. There's a lot of uncertainty that goes with that.
Yeah, and John Molina, man, I mean, what a trooper. The guy just comes in and he still has that patience. We can't really see what being with Robert Garcia has done for him, because it is their first time out with each other. But the poise that he brings, you know, showing that there was no effect with that stoppage with DeMarco, it does tell us a lot. You know, it does tell us a lot. I think it tells us his will.
Yeah, well, I think the power is really real. You know, it always has been. I always kind of wonder what it's going to be like when he moves to 140. But he's such a big 135. I mean, really, all it took was one shot and it was over. But that was kind of, it almost felt like that was the only punch. I mean, he kind of threw one towards the end of the first. He started getting closer and closer. But I think he would be a much more active fighter if he moved up in weight.
Right.
You know, I always kind of wonder what it would be like having him and Brandon Rios fight when they were, you know, looking at it now. Because Johnny's just not a guy that lets his hands go. He kind of waits and waits, and I think you could kind of overwhelm him with that. He expects to take the beating instead of kind of imposing himself with a really hard jab. And I'm not seeing him let his hands go, and I'm wondering if that's just him not recovering that well from the weigh-in process or what he's doing. But I don't know. You know, I thought it was a really fun knockout. It was a great way to start the year for him. Hopefully he's another guy that he doesn't take this win and just sit on it for 6 months, 8 months and not fight again. He needs to get right back in there and keep reminding us why we want to see him. Especially because it was a great punch, but, you know, I mean, look what happened with Joel Diaz Jr. I mean, he had a big year and then he kind of fought off TV and then he stopped fighting. I don't know what's going on with him. 360s. You know, that's a guy that needs to be moved, you know, because he's exciting. So hopefully, you know, these are nice jumping off points for both these fighters. And we'll, you know, 2013 will be a year where we see them more often, seeing them, not just waiting for TV dates, but just fight, you know, just get out there. That's what Diaz ended up doing. I'd like to see him get back on TV. I think he's hit that point where he should be.
Yeah, and I'm hitting up Blog Talk right now because I tried myself on my cell phone. And there is a busy signal. I don't know why. So I'm sending him an email right now saying, what the hell, man? Get this shit straightened out. We pay to be on. So we apologize. So he did try to call, and it's a busy line. It's a busy signal. Everybody's telling me that right now.
Oh, good.
Okay, so right now they're saying, this is Blog Talk telling me this. Hi there. Thanks for visiting our live chat help desk. As you are aware, we are experiencing a site-wide outrage affecting both guests and hosts, talent numbers, and streaming. We thank you for the patience. We're working on getting these things fixed. Thanks a lot, Blog Talk. So, people, I apologize, and just bear with us while we're trying to figure this out. Let them figure this out, and hopefully Dominic...
Well, the good news is we can call in Ola Afolabi at like 7 o'clock. I've got his number, so we can definitely call him in. He actually asked that we call him in because he's up in Big Bear.
You know what? I normally ask the guys too. Like, I tell them, I can call them in, you know, but this time around, both of the guests that we were going to have on said, oh, no, we can do it. We'll call in, and this comes down to it, you know. Because it was working perfectly fine, and they just cut him off. So it wasn't his phone. It was actually Blog Talk that cut Mike Dallas off during our question. So, sorry about that. Mike, apologize. I know, and, you know, I got to, yeah, brother. It's, you know, listeners telling us, ditch Blog Talk already and go to MixLR. Google it, bro. It's holding you guys back. Thanks, man. You know what? I think I am. I think I'm about done with Blog Talk. This is just, it's always the same crap with them, you know? I don't know what it is, but it's always the same crap. We just got to find another, you know, another way. The only thing with Mix is that you don't have a switchboard. You can't, which right now we don't have David Chan, but a lot of times we like to know who we're going to talk to next, who's on the hold, and what's the question. Try to keep it as professional as we can and stuff, but yeah, we need to make our next move. We definitely are. We've been working at that, trying to do our next move here, because Blog Talk is just not doing us justice at all. And again, I apologize for everybody that we have a lot of callers too. That's the thing that sucks. A lot of callers, and they want to talk boxing here on Leaving the Ring, and I think that's what is irritating me the most right now. Is they want to talk to us here on Leaving the Ring, and they can't. Just because of the due fact that Blog Talk is not getting their bargain. And I'm going on my rant about this because I pay for this crap. You know, this is what I'm paying for. For them not to patch in our listeners. Or dropping our stream. You know? What a day. What a day, man. You know? From the beginning of, I'm not going to even get into that.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, with the, yeah, that we've already hit the Brandon Rios thing. And I just think that's kind of unfair. And it's not like you printed some story about Brandon Rios that was personal and untrue. You were putting out a story about a fight. He's like, well, I haven't signed it. Could have left it at that, but. I don't know. It just all smacked of just hyper-aggression.
On top
of it, it's like, well, come on the radio and let's discuss the fight. No. You know, it's all passive-aggressive bullshit to not get on our show.
Yeah, I don't even care about it. Yeah, exactly.
At the same time, I don't want to, you know, dump negativity at the listeners. But
I'll tell you one thing I want to talk about. It is frustrating. But this here's one thing I want to talk about. And I had a chance to talk to a couple writers about this. And you know what? This is something that not a lot of fight fans are going to be overly excited about, but I said, you know what? This is going to be enough to maybe entice other heavyweights to participate after this one's done. For $500,000, they're having a tournament. It's called the Great American Heavyweight Box Off. Now, the names are not stellar names. They're not really recognizable names, but there's some names in there that are like, hey, what happened to these guys, you know? From Devin Vargas, you know, he's going to be a part of that tournament. Jason Estrada started up his own promotional company, and he's kind of kept himself pretty busy, you know. Joey Abel, Alonzo Butler, and you know, and my thing was that, and we talked about this with Tyson Fury, was that when the Klitschkos are gone, and when Henry Ramirez and whoever else has called into the show, when the Klitschkos are all gone, that we're going to get some pretty exciting fights. Now, like I said, these are not the elite names, but these are smaller heavyweights, not these oversized heavyweights that I think can do enough of a ripple in the pond to make them intriguing. to give you that, to give you that, okay, there is something here. You know, they're not facing the best out of the best. They're not, the winner's not going to obviously get a title shot, in my opinion, shouldn't get a title shot. But it's making these guys fight for whatever bit they can receive, the publicity, the money. But at the same time, we get a chance of seeing some smaller heavyweights that are able to move their hands a little bit more and able to compete on a competitive level. You know, this is like not like some non-competitive level where you have one guy, you know, has 20 losses and then he's fighting a guy that's, you know, undefeated and has got 30 wins. You know what I mean? To me, they're almost in equal ground where Estrada, in my opinion, has been more of the active guy, more in the face. He's been out there a little bit more in the ring polishing up those tools. And I wanted to hear what your thoughts about them brewing this up. I think you're on mute, brother. This is killing me, Smalls, you know.
I'm sorry, hang on, man. I muted because I got a call that just came in. It's a boxing thing that I'm taking. Just 1 second, and I kind of actually throw a story at you. I know this is turning into one of the weirder shows.
It is. You know, been having a good run for the first couple of shows of the year, you know, especially with the Tyson Fury. There was nothing really – everything went smooth in that one, just that we didn't have Dave Chin because I didn't announce it. Because I was trying to figure out with that Tyson Fury interview of how to pre-record it so I could put it on this show. Good thing I did it, you know, because it probably wouldn't have came through. But I wish I could say Fight Fans, call in, 347-215-7598. All I can tell you to do right now is continue to try to call in. See if you can come through. I'm gonna test it out, see right now. And hopefully, let me see if I got – Emily, are you on the line with us? Emily, are you there? No. So we're still some technical problems. People are not able to still call in. But, again, just keep trying. 347-215-7598. Block Talk said they are working.
Well, I'm wondering if the audio is even going.
No, it is. It is. I am told that they can hear us. They just can't call in.
Oh, Block Talk's awesome.
So it's working online, but it's just not working when people call in to tune in. You know, when they want to call on their phones or sitting in traffic or at work still, they're not able to get the reception and listen to us here on live, which is frustrating. I apologize. Man, we're just going to have to find somewhere else to go. I think it's about that time, especially with this big of an era right now where a lot of fight fans were calling in and tuning in and listening and leaving the ring. You know, we're their daily fix. We're their Thursday fix for Boxing Talk, and they're not able to get it. You know, but I'll go back with that heavyweight issue with that tournament. I actually like that, and I think that makes we complain. We complain that nothing's happening in the heavyweight division. There's no fights that can really get us going. And you're absolutely right. There's no names out there, but there are definitely fights out there that can be under the radar and make a good fight because they're being matched up correctly, so it becomes competitive. So with that tournament, and like I said, there's some names on there that have kind of been kind of off of the region for a while, but I think the way they matched it was the right way of doing it. You know, they didn't put one guy that you know for sure is going to blow everybody out. I think they put a variety of different guys and around almost the same size so that it kept it a volume of trading punches to a maximum where it's going to be TV-friendly.
Well, I've always liked the I think, you know, when you look at all these different heavyweights, it's slowly grown. I mean, for a long time, like, Bert Sugar would always make the same joke. If you put all these guys in the lineup and, you know, put them in their gear and the belt, you know, no one would know who they are, you know, all the heavyweight titleists. But I think at this stage, they've kind of slowly grown, you know, the heavyweights. We still haven't really gotten one in America. We got Deontay Wilder, who could end up being the guy, but I really think the difference is, and it was something we kept talking about on the show yesterday, was there are certain skills that a guy learns at a younger age as he grows and becomes a heavyweight that get instilled into his body, that guys that learned, oh, you're a big guy, let's turn you into a heavyweight,
right. That's
why they're never successful. You know, Tyson was successful because he, one, was not a gigantic heavyweight, so it wasn't really awkward, and he, you know, he trained to the point and peak that he had, but that he learned how to fight as a smaller guy. and then kind of develop those skills as a bigger man. I think looking at everything right now, you know, better fights are definitely going to be made by this crop of heavyweights. I think people should be just patient with it because they're not all at the same playing level, you know, in terms of experience. Tyson Fury is probably out in front of everybody. David Price is kind of coming up maybe next. Well, Povetkin's there. He's got a lot of experience, but I think he's a limited guy. But still, I think style-wise, you can make really good fights with, you know, Areola or Derek Chisora. Could be a fun fight. There are fights to be made, you know.
Right.
The division, people keep, you know, always want to say, oh, it's terrible. That's the easy way out. Having knowledge and actually looking at the heavyweight division and breaking it down. Chris Areola is another guy. And that Stavern fight is going to be very interesting. There's good fights to be made. You know, definitely we could go tournament format. You know, you got Cunningham that's out there in the mix now too. Adamek is in the mix in a limited fashion. Brian Jennings, who I don't think is the next great hope or whatever, but I think that guy's going to be certainly in the conversation. You know, he's certainly going to be in the mix and a guy that you could make fights with. So the reports of the heavyweight's demise is greatly exaggerated.
I think so, you know, and I think this is a good push and a good start to have this heavyweight tournament. And like I said, this is not something that casual fans are going to be jumping up and down, and even hardcore fight fans are not going to be jumping up and down, because those heavyweights that are involved in this tournament are obviously, they're very questionable. Like I said, they've been out of the mix for quite some time. You know, Devon Vargas, where have you been? But I think...
Where were you ever?
Yeah. You know, but I just think that it does spark up a little bit to maybe make some head turns from the other guys that are a little bit up there. Speaking of like the British tournament that never folded out because, you know, David Haye didn't want to participate with that. But it would have been really good for boxing, not just for the UK stream, you know, folks, but for, I think, for the overall of the boxing world. You know, having David Price, you know, Tyson Fury, David Haye, those three names alone, you know, Robert Hellenius, those guys alone would have brought a lot of attention. All very big men, you know, some of the big top names right now in the heavyweight division. But I think with the 500,000 Great American Heavyweight box off tournament is a way of saying there are heavyweights out there. Not the top. They're not the top of the line. They're not the brand heavyweights that you want to see. But I think it's just the start of a minimum of where they can go and where they could lead. I always like that little push to start something, you know. And even with the Matadors, you know, with the World Series of Boxing, you know, we promoted that because it to me it was a good idea. Now, we didn't know for sure whether the idea was going to spiral and become something great. We were hoping it was, because they had the right idea, be it making franchises and making them relate to cities where, you know, people can go behind it the way they do for the Lakers or the Giants, you know. But it just fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The World Series of Boxing is still going, but it certainly in the U.S., doesn't seem like it went very strong, you know. It seems like it kind of fell apart.
It fell apart before it could even start, in my opinion. You know what I mean? I think they had the right idea. They were getting, you know, some celebrity figures to come out, try to promote this, try to entice people to come in there and watch the fights. And even when I attended to the fights, you had a really good crowd. I mean, granted, it wasn't a big venue. You know, but it made it that much more personable, you know, and sometimes promoters, I think they overextend themselves and trying to get a big venue, you know, like the HB Pavilion in San Jose. It's massive. There's just no way of filling that place up for a boxing event. I'm sorry. Even for the Strikeforce events that I had attended to in the beginning when I started doing my media coverage, that place wasn't sold out. You know, but when it's a smaller venue, I think that it makes it more personable, and it makes you feel like, hey, I'm not at a big fight, but I certainly feel like I am. because I'm rubbing shoulders to shoulders with other fight fans, and I'm feeling their enthusiasm. I'm feeling their yelling and their screaming, and it's making me more amp. It's making me want to be there and enjoy myself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is kind of your rant. I actually didn't get the memo on this one, so I'm still dealing with this thing. I'm being told. It's interesting. You know, people are reporting this Donaire Rigondeaux fight is being done. I'm not sure if it's done, and there's still a lot of aspects still being worked out. That's kind of what I've been getting messages here during the show about. So you're not alone in the. It's funny. I'm Googling out, you know, going, well, let me look at, you know, who's really reporting this. And, like, everybody's reporting that the fight's done. And I'm telling you, the fight's not done. And, you know, I think it, too, it's kind of not fair in the sense that a lot of fights go to the week of the fight and the fight's not signed. You know?
Perfect example, Timothy Bradley, Manny Pacquiao. I remember we had Timothy Bradley on with us, and they were about to start their world tour, and Manny hadn't signed it.
Right.
You know, Top Rank was already setting up the press conference. So, I mean, it, in a way, it's almost a holdout because there's something on the contract that they're not happy with, you know, and that's a smart way of doing it. I think people don't understand that sometimes in the behind the scenes in this boxing business, you got to hold out a little bit to get what you want, you know, in any type of business. You know, you don't settle for the first bid that's thrown at you, you know, you try to fight for it. And I don't blame Brandon Rios saying, hey, you know what, I haven't signed it. Because, you know, you're a fighter. You got to get everything you can receive. You know, but when it's reported, like with Timothy Bradley, I mean, were we liars then? When Timothy Bradley came on and said, yeah, I signed my end. I don't know about him, but I signed my end.
Yeah, I say people, you know, I don't know. It's a weird situation. It feels like game playing.
It is game playing. You know, and there's got to be pawns in this game playing, unfortunately.
Who do we got on next? Well, I guess we don't have Dominic Brazil. Have we figured out a phone number for him?
No, I actually emailed this publicist, and hopefully they'll get back to me. But, yeah, we're not going to be able to get anybody on. We can't patch nobody on because of the whole fact that Blog Talk is basically shut down and letting us get anybody on to the show.
Well, I mean, yeah. Thanks, Blog Talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I apologize for everybody. I almost even have the sense of just shutting down the show right now because of what's going on here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, Lance Armstrong is going to be on tonight. I mean, I don't know. We can cancel, reschedule. We can do tomorrow, or we can go another day. But yeah, it's kind of no sense if we can't interact with the guests and interact with the fans.
Yeah.
More importantly, then you know, maybe we should just step down tonight. We'll start again tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we had some other guests that, not just with Dominic, that we were hoping to get on, and this, you know, the shitty part is that they needed to call in. And trying to conduct the show at the same time, trying to figure this out and try to get our guests on the show, you know, the listeners that tune in every Thursday, they're being shorthanded right now. But so here's the thing, though. We did a show yesterday with Tyson Fury. If you missed that, I really enjoyed it. I thought that was a great one. A lot of people were hitting me up and saying, man, they really liked what Tyson Fury. He's very talkative. He's got a lot to say about the heavyweight division. So I don't want to, you know, break everything that he had to break down and what his thoughts were. But even with his uncle, you know, Peter Fury, he had a lot to say. And, you know, I got the sense that these guys just make a great pair. And them getting together and with Tyson Fury finally realized, you know, his leg was almost out the door for boxing, getting his ducks in a row, that this has been a great decision for him. And after talking to him, listening to him, I'm now a little bit more excited to see what Tyson Fury goes from here on out with his career.
Yeah, I'm very excited for him. We should just tweet that link out. People can enjoy it. It's actually a really cool slice of something different for us because we do it, you know, it's a nice UK interview. We get to talk at length with Peter Fury, his trainer, his uncle, who's really Tyson credits with turning his career around. And then we get a lengthy interview with Tyson. Didn't seem to be in a rush to get off the phone. Was just chilling, discussing all manner of subjects. We discussed his fighting style, where it developed, his a little bit of his childhood, some of his background as being an Irish traveler or coming from that background. It's really fun stuff. So I think, Dave, that's probably the smart thing to do is we'll have people just click on that link. You can see it. It's labeled Tyson Fury right there. We'll tweet out the link right now on Twitter and get a little slice of Tyson Fury. And then
we'll be back tomorrow. Let's just do that. We'll reschedule tomorrow, see when we can get their guests on, and then we'll give our predictions on the Friday night. You know, I'm on vacation, so we're going to do what we got to do.
Exactly right.
I like I said, man, I'm a little frustrated, disappointed. We were able to. I was pumped up to do the show today, and I know a lot of fans, you know, tune in to listen to our Thursday segment. Again, I apologize, but we're going to make it better and stronger. You know,
faster.
Yeah, and we want to have a funky beginning of the show. We'll be back on track here. So, anyways. We won't give our prediction. We won't give our fight schedule right now. We'll do it tomorrow. So we'll schedule it for tomorrow. And we'll be back on here on Leaving the Ring Radio. Apologize for everybody. There was a lot of calls that called in on Leaving the Ring, and they weren't able to call to be patched in and talked to here on the show. So I apologize. So right now, hosts are experiencing a busy signal from their host dial and should be – forget it.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks for your patience. You know, yeah, whatever. Anyways, Fight fans, tune in tomorrow night. Gabe, I'll talk to you later, brother.
Peace.